Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Scope. And now, here are your hosts, Jared, Adam, and Shane.
Everybody, welcome to The Scope, episode 246 of our little program. Jared to my right, Adam to my left.
Hi.
It's so simple.
And David Lee Roth, you know, covering all the bases for
yeah!
us. I love it. Thank you, David.
Yes, I am.
He is. Guess what, guys? We had a great episode last week. We talked about
Thanksgiving.
We talked about our favorite alternative albums. We looked back. So I figured, why not do that again this week?
Keep on looking back.
Because if we look forward, it's only doom and gloom. We're bringing back a segment that we've had at least once, maybe twice. I can't remember. It's our retro video game review, where we take a comprehensive look at an old video game system from the past. We talk about it. Then we talk about the games from that system that mean the most to us. I know we've done it with the Atari. Did we do it with the original Nintendo system, guys, or have we only done this one time?
I think we just did the Atari.
I thought we did a Super NES one. No?
No, we definitely did not do Super NES. This time around,
Atari Lynx?
Nope. Hmm. I won't tell you what that system is until we actually get into the segment in just a few short minutes.
What a teaser.
So it's exciting. Yeah, I don't have much to say to start this off, guys, other than I'm excited.
Kind of burned through it. Election stuff 2 weeks ago, Thanksgiving last week.
Yep.
Nothing. I mean, it's just the interim now. Now we just wait for...
We wait for 2017.
We wait for Christmas.
Yeah.
And we wait for Chanukah.
Mm-hmm.
Kwanzaa.
Mm-hmm.
Adam loves
Festivus.
Them all.
Festivus.
For the rest of us.
Yeah.
It's exciting times.
What else? Festival of Lights. No, that's Chanukah.
You cannot get it straight. So how about we do this?
Yeah.
We keep this top of the show really short because I feel like we've got a lot of content to cover.
Keep it light because we're just weighed down with Thanksgiving meals.
Yes.
And now we need to lighten up a little bit.
We need to.
It's like a salad.
This is our salad course, guys. So thanks for tuning into episode 246 of The Scope. We will be back with our retro video game review right after this.
What do I do? Hey, guys. You like the show? You want to see it continue? You know what? You can support the show directly. Head on over to Patreon at patreon.com/thescopeshow. Not sure where that accent came from. You can pledge as little as $1 per episode. You can set a monthly cap, and you can cancel any time. Patreon, it helps you support creators directly, and your support means we can keep making this show for you on a regular basis. So head on over to patreon.com/thescopeshow.
Hey, everybody, we are back with more Scope, episode 246, retro video game review in the house.
I'm trying to remember, did I do like a bleep blur intro song last time?
I think you did.
Yeah, well, I dropped the ball.
Wow, Jared.
Sorry.
We're going to be doing this segment
bleep
again.
Blurp.
So bleep blurp it. Get that ready. Think about it. Step up, man.
Yeah.
This time, we are taking a look at a console released in 1988/9, depending on which country you lived in. Hmm. I'm talking about the Sega Genesis, also known as the Sega what?
Mega Drive. In Japan.
Yes. In October of 89, Sega released the Mega Drive in Japan, and then it was released here in North America under the Genesis moniker early January 9, 1989, so early of in that year, and then followed up in the UK in November of that same year.
What Nintendo doesn't. Don't.
Beautiful. You can't do that stuff. So guess what, guys? Here's some fun facts about the Genesis / Mega Drive. Mega Drive was not particularly popular. Get to Montana free. That commercial is... Jared, that commercial is pre-Sonic the Hedgehog, so that tells you something. Mega Drive didn't do well in Japan. It was sort of the third system. I mean, obviously, it was fighting against the the Famicom, mm-hmm. also known as the NES Entertainment System. But there also was the NEC's PC Engine, mm-hmm. which was another
PC Engine, which was the TurboGrafx over
TurboGrafx over here.
Yep.
It both of those sort of kept that on the down low. But in North America, completely different story. Contributing to its success here, it was known for the sports games. When Jared and I worked at Toys R Us during that time, which that's one of the reasons why I'm excited to talk about this, because I think we worked video games in the golden age of video games. I mean,
they're terrible now.
You had this. You had the Nintendo, then you had the Genesis, and then you had the Super Nintendo, and that battle went on for a number of years.
But not for, like, the Super Nintendo didn't even come out for, like, another 3 years? Right?
Yeah,
93?
Yeah, it had a couple years on it. So, for a while, it was Genesis versus Nintendo. Yeah. And then even when Super Nintendo came out, they didn't have the traction that Sega had at the time.
Because Sega had the Mega System out early, but that just didn't do anything.
Yeah. The Master System.
Master System, that's what it was.
Yep, that was their 8-bit equivalent,
yeah,
which was a better system.
It was a better
technically,
system.
Technologically, it was a better system. But
let's talk about how Beta is better than VHS. Yeah.
But in America, Sega had the sports games, especially with the support of EA. You think about the Maddens. It had Lakers versus Celtics. Eventually, it had NHL. But then Sega also had its own library of sports games with Joe Montana Football, Tommy Lasorda Baseball. But then you had the Genesis exclusive Sonic the Hedgehog, which was a huge game changer for them. I remember that coming out. A friend of mine bought it. He's like, you got to come over and play this game. Played it.
Hey, guy, you're the first serious gamer.
I had to have a Genesis right after I played that. Oh, here we go. Listen.
Super Nintendo is Super Mario World. Wow.
Oh, what's this one?
Oh, this is a Sonic the Hedgehog from Sega Genesis.
Hey, look at these radical colors, huh?
Wow, Sonic's fast, too.
No, over here.
I like Genesis, and it costs a lot less.
Wait, kid, that game
I'll take Sonic and Genesis.
I knew that.
Sonic the Hedgehog. More action, more speed. Sega Genesis, it's a whole lot more for less.
So the Super Nintendo was released 2 years after the Genesis, 1991, somewhere in there. And it resulted in a fierce battle for market share in the U.S. and Europe that often has been termed as a console war by journalists and historians. As this contest drew increasing attention to the video game industry among the general public, the Genesis and several of its highest profile games attracted significant legal scrutiny on matters involving reverse engineering and video game violence. So you remember, like Sega actually, they created the Video Game Rating Council based off of the pushback from both Mortal Kombat, because Mortal Kombat had blood
on Genesis only.
Yep. Super Nintendo, they hit it and it was like sweat. And also Night Trap a little bit later for the Sega CD. For the record, Sega sold about 31 million units worldwide. And a lot of this information was written about in a book called Console Wars, Sega, Nintendo, and the Battle That Defined a Generation by Blake Harris. I read this book last year, and it's really, really good. It tells you all the inside stories of the marketing that Sega had to do, especially Sega of America, because they were always kind of at odds with Sega of Japan. They wanted to do their thing. And a lot of the advancements, a lot of the success for the Sega Genesis in America was due to a very savvy marketing and sales team here in the States. Here's some other stuff here. Sega was able to outsell Nintendo 4 Christmas seasons in a row due to the Genesis's head start, a lower price point, because they were always $50 cheaper, and a larger library of games when compared to Super Nintendo Entertainment System. At the release of the Super Nintendo, Sega had 10 games for every game the Super Nintendo had.
That's that Nintendo seal of approval, though.
Yep. Super Nintendo had an exclusive version of Final Fight, which was a huge arcade game, but then Sega just turned around and released Streets of Rage, which had bigger levels, tougher enemies, and a well-regarded soundtrack that is still talked about in circles today. Let me see here. In ASCII Entertainment reported that in spring of 1993, Genesis had 250 titles versus 75 for the Super Nintendo, so you had that much choice. And they tended to be a little bit cheaper. That being said, there was limited shelf space, so obviously you didn't see that in a Toys R Us, but there was always more Sega titles. Other things that spun out of the Genesis, this concept of blast processing, which was what, I mean, it was something, but it really didn't really mean that much. Jared's doing some research. You also had the Sega CD, which I loved, but in fact, was a pretty terrible system.
Mm-hmm.
And then they also had the 32X, which was kind of that bridge between the Sega Genesis and then the Sega Saturn, which pretty much spelled the downfall of the system in the mid-90s. I own the Sega CD. The Toys R Us, when it came out, they got a case of three. I bought one for $300. Yeah. I did it on the secret fly, so my parents didn't know that I was spending that much money. It was a really nice system.
Yeah, it was.
It stacked. It had a CD tray that opened and shut.
Oh, yeah, that one.
Later versions of the ones had the push button case where it popped.
I had that one, and I got it on super clearance for like $100.
Not a great system, but there were a couple good games like
Sonic CD.
Sonic CD, which is still one of the best games ever. Had Silphied, which was a standard shooter, but then had really cool rendered 3D spaceship battles in the background. And like their version of Batman Returns wasn't bad, but there were a lot of bad games for it, like Night Trap, which was pretty controversial. It had a
Scottie Pippen basketball, really bad.
It had Joe Montana football, which was terrible. Like it was the game I was waiting for. Like this is going to be the best football game. It was going to blow Madden out of the water, and then I played it, and it was unplayable.
That was my pack-in game. Yep. I don't think I played it once.
It just was terrible. Marky Mark, a lot of video.
Yeah,
video. What it would be like video games like Night Trap, and then
full
like,
motion video,
like laser video games. You had Sewer Shark. Yeah. You had Cobra Command, which is a popular arcade game in the early to mid 80s, kind of like Dragon's Lair. I think Dragon's Lair even was a pretty big face of Sega CD. A reason to
live. A whole playthrough of Sewer Shark.
Yeah. Sewer Shark right here.
Look at that quality video. That's not YouTube compression. That's what it looked like on the disc.
Yeah, that's terrible. Pretty terrible.
But you got CD quality audio.
It was a pretty underpowered system, actually, the Sega CD. But it always helped the impression that the Genesis was one step ahead of Nintendo. And for the longest time, they were. Nintendo started to turn it around a little bit with Donkey Kong Country was a big game for that system that sort of marked the end of the Sega Genesis dominance. But by that time, at least in that generation, the damage had been done. I still think it's a shame that Sega is not a player today, because I think that they were well positioned to be a dominant force. Even like the Dreamcast was a great system, mm-hmm. but the Sega Saturn had taken its toll.
They made so many missteps hardware wise.
Yeah, like, they did.
It's, I mean, you can also, you talked about the 32X, the Sega CD. They had a secondary controller. So every single, right, they had a six button controller because
yep.
the Super Nintendo had one. So
that was all a fighting game response.
Right. But that meant every game that came out had to have a support for both.
Yep.
And so it makes it worse for one or both of them.
That six button controller for the Genesis, by the way, one of the best controllers ever made. It was so good.
Man, I did
good.
Not, had a better D-pad, too.
I loved it.
I did not remember liking it. I remember playing Super Street Fighter II Turbo Championship Edition.
We played that on Genesis more than we played it on Super Nintendo.
I remember my friends and I, we all had both.
Yeah.
Because we were insane. And no, I
liked having all six buttons right there for your fingers.
I think I got really used to using the triggers.
Understandable.
The shoulder buttons.
It's really sad when Adam's wrong all the time.
I know, it is. So one of the things that
it's weird because shoulder buttons, you know, after that went away. So I guess you guys
they
are
sure
right.
did. And that 2x2 configuration of buttons that nobody ever used that again.
Right. So one thing that we do with the retro video game review is we then each of us will pick a game or two or three or 10 to talk about.
10. That's what I got. I got 11.
He's got 11. Mm-hmm. That. I'm not saying it's the best game ever made for that system, but mm-hmm. maybe it has meaning to you.
Yeah.
So let's just sort of do a round robin. I've got two games. How many do you have, Jared?
It's three, but it's really two.
So let's just sort of skip around. Adam, we're going to start with you.
Okay.
Tell me about one game from the Genesis that had meaning.
I'm going to start with the best sports game that's ever existed. Hmm. I know that you guys are going to say it's NFL 2K because you could just throw it to Randy Moss every single time and he would catch touchdown. But
it's what actually, Mossman did until we figured him out.
We shut that bastard down. Mossman.
the actual answer is EA NHL 94.
Okay.
Not a hockey fan, this guy right here. But this game was awesome. And especially then,
because
I had friends at the time. I had friends, and I had friends that liked video games,
mm-hmm.
and we lived near each other. And that meant you could play at least with two people.
Mm-hmm.
Later on, you could play with four people.
This
game had team-specific themes.
Yeah.
1994, that was kind of a big
1994.
Deal.
1994.
Yeah.
Right, you said 84.
Oh, 94. Big
so
deal.
It came out, yeah. What, 93, or did it come out in 94?
Great question.
not important.
I believe it came out in the fall of 93.
Okay. This game had the biggest change for hockey games at this
which
point.
Was?
One-timers.
Oh, yes.
Fucking
the one-timer.
One-timers were amazing, which is, if you're not familiar with hockey or video game hockey,
it's God, I love knocking somebody on their ass like that.
Where you would touch pass from one player to another, and the mm-hmm. other player doesn't actually stop and then swing. He's already swinging.
He's ready to go.
Right. And knocking it through. And most of the time, what that would result in is the other great feature from this game, breaking glass.
Yes.
You could shatter the glass behind the goal when your one-timer was completely off. This was also the first NHL game that had both the NHLPA and the NHL license at the same time. So you have the actual team names and the actual player names.
There's a one-timer. This game actually does not.
You can't
stop it. Holds up pretty well.
I think it does. This game had fighting in it.
Yep. Which eventually got pulled.
Right. People make a big deal out of that. Jeremy Roenick is completely overpowered. But not just him. Pavel Bure, I think, had a 99 for speed. And you would just fly down the ice with him.
Yep.
God, this is a good game.
And I think this game eventually, maybe NHL 95, was released on Sega CD.
Mm-hmm.
So it was essentially the same exact game, but they would have better sound. So
sure.
The booing, it would sound like real crowds and stuff like that. Real.
That sounds real. What are you talking about?
I don't know what it is about video game hockey games from this era, but I'm still not a huge hockey fan,
yeah.
And I never was then. But the games were fun to play.
Yeah, seriously.
I mean, it's like such a basic concept of
right.
just trying to get a ball in a goal, but it works very well.
Yeah.
Adam, so
yeah.
You talk about NHL 94.
Yeah.
I'm going to talk about another EA game, Madden 94.
Yeah.
So
it's the best year for video game sports.
So Madden 94 was released in the fall of 93, just like NHL.
Well, I guess you know that.
It was the first. This was the first Madden game to feature NHL, NFL teams, and a full regular season. It was one of the first Genesis games to feature four-player support via the EA four-way play adapter, which was like a little chunk of plastic that had four controller ports on it. I don't know if NHL 94 had that.
I don't know. It did later.
But it did. But this looks like the this is the Super Nintendo version we're watching here.
It's like Sega Genesis right
there. Does it?
Yeah. And look, the letters are ABC. Yeah,
it looks weird to me. Wow. So I've got an interesting story about this game.
He's kicking a field goal? Are you never kick a field. Always go for it.
My buddy Todd.
It's good, though. Adam.
one of my first friends that I met at Toys R Us. He was part of Toys R Us Generation Alpha.
Yeah.
He had a place. He was going to the U of M at the time that this game came out. And so another good friend of mine that I met at Toys R Us at the same time, Chris, and I, we went over to Todd's place to play Madden. He was a huge Bills fan. If you think about the Bills of that time, they
Thurman
were a
Thomas.
Powerhouse team. Thurman mm-hmm. Thomas. And Chris and I, obviously, huge Vikings fans. So I brought over the Madden 94. I brought over the four-way play adapter. We played 2-1. Now, the problem is when you play 2-1, especially in hockey and football games, is it's very easy to get your guys out of position. So a lot of times what you have to do is, you know, whoever's playing quarterback, you let them play quarterback, and then you take control of the ball right after your receiver gets it. You know, you can't be messing around because it just screws everything up. Todd, it was Chris and myself versus Todd, Vikings versus Bills. A battle back and forth of the ages. And it was the end of the game. Game was tied. I think it was tied. And Todd had just scored a touchdown, no time on the clock left, and he was kicking the extra point to win the game. Chris and I, like it was the football gods intervened, and we blocked an extra point in that football, and then went on to win the game after that. But to block an extra point, you know that something was in our favor, and I think it was the Vikings gods.
It happened
on our
side. Rarely. I just assume they didn't even put the code in the game to enable it.
It did. It just you couldn't. Something terrible had to happen.
So we're watching John Madden mime over text right now at the end of the game, and it reminds me that even though the games today are so called Madden, 16 and stuff, John Madden has not made an appearance through audio or video in
number of years.
Still five, getting paid though. Yeah. Still every, getting paid.
Every year, there's always talk. Is this going to be the year that EA just starts calling them NFL?
Right.
But it doesn't really seem to happen. It's a legacy. Now, I think that NHL 94 holds up a lot better than the football. But back in the day, there was nothing like this stuff. These, I mean, I don't buy sports games as much as I used to, but those were the games that I bought. Period. I'd buy sports games, I'd buy Sonic. And maybe not even Sonic, but it was every year. Very easy to buy it. And love them and play the hell out of them. I also love FIFA Soccer, which I don't know if will come up, but FIFA was a huge game for
this
me
is America.
As well.
You don't play soccer.
So we've covered NHL, Jared. We've covered Madden. Mm-hmm. It's your turn to shine. Give me your game.
Sweet. Well, I'm going to go a different direction and not do a sports game. I'm going to do probably not one of the best fighting games on the system.
This is a great game.
But a game that I, myself, and our friend Thomas, who's been on the show, played an awful lot of when it mm-hmm. came out. And it's a game that is unique in that it was developed specifically for consoles. And I'm talking about Sega's Eternal Champions. Let's see. It was a fighting game, and the whole concept was that there were like, let's see if I can get some information here. It had the typical fighting game controls. It had really wanted you to use that six button controller that the Genesis had, because otherwise you had to switch between kicks and punches, like using the start button. Forget it. You got to have the six button one. But it was all these like weird characters from different time periods that were sort of brought together in this big tournament. And I'm looking for the story here, but it's not even that great.
This game is a direct, answer to Street Fighter and even more, probably Mortal Kombat more so. It's got.
Yeah. So this came out in 93. So it came out after Street Fighter, Mortal Kombat were a thing. And it was definitely, you know, inspired by all that. And it had things like taunts and finishing moves and all kinds of craziness it was just the next level of it. I actually looking for videos of it. It looked better than I remember. Like, I was remembering it being really, really terrible looking. Let's see what we got here.
I mean, it was a game that had large characters.
Yeah.
You know.
And if you were, I don't know if you remember, like, the Mortal Kombat characters were smaller than the Nintendo versions of those games. So this was sort of like the Sega proving that, we can do this too.
I think we could have an entire episode of discussing Mortal Kombat on Super Nintendo versus Genesis.
Sure.
The history of that.
But there's like a weird 1920s gumshoe character, and there's like a caveman character, and there's like a wizard character. It's just the most bizarre characters you could come up with for a game. Welcome to my chamber. I am the eternal champion, keeper of this fast fighting complex.
We love this crap, Adam.
It exists in a time corrupted by the centuries of misuse and destruction. My purpose in this grand scheme is to maintain the balance between good and evil, light and darkness, hope and despair. Now, this balance has been lost, blah, blah, blah. Nine individuals from various periods of their time were killed before their lives.
All right. Reading's dumb.
That's sort of the storyline. Here's some character selection. You got like a ninja, crazy cyborg, some weird
American Gladiator.
Yeah, that's really what it is. There's the caveman.
Blanca.
Some merman guy. Wizard dude.
Shao Tsung.
Yeah,
like an undead vampire type. Here's the gumshoe dude with he had the grappling hook. That's right.
All right. Scorpion.
So let's get to some fighting action.
Yeah,
Player
see?
Wins, Shadow wins.
I'm
all
Scorpion,
right,
see?
get over here, see?
Get over
but
here,
the game
see?
Looks better than I remember. I mean, there's decent animations. You know, the characters are you know, big like an arcade game would be in... I don't know. I just remember us playing this an awful lot, and I'm trying to remember what my favorite character was in this game. But it was sort of like, I don't know, it felt like a kind of a fresh take on fighting games that were...
It clearly has that Sega Genesis sound, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, in so many ways, the Super Nintendo was superior.
Everywhere.
But, damn it, if the Sega just could... It had this incalculable way of... competing.
Yeah, it had a decent soundtrack too, this game did.
Whoa!
That was on a finishing move. He got burned up with the fire.
It got to the point where, like, each character had 50 finishing moves, and there was, like, babalities and friendship moves, and... This game also was released on Sega CD.
Yeah, there was an Eternal Champion CD.
It was, like, the exact same game with a different soundtrack.
But, I don't know. It was a fun game that it was just sort of a product of its time.
And you can definitely see the blast processing taking effect in that one. Adam, you've got another game.
Yeah. I'm trying to figure out which one of these two you guys are likely to have. I feel like Jared probably has this other one. So I'm going to go with Michael Jackson's Moonwalker.
Nope. Ah. What was the other one you were going to pick?
Toe Jam and Earl.
Nope.
Oh, okay. Moonwalker.
You can talk about both of them if you
sure.
like.
Sure. Moonwalker is...
Sorry, I telegraphed it because you can see my screen, so yeah. you know what I'm doing.
It is a game starring Michael Jackson. Yeah. He has to rescue little girls. Maybe there's boys.
It's little kids.
From mobsters.
Yep.
And he has a lot. It's like Streets of Rage. You know, yep. it's a character action yep. game. I don't know. I beat him up.
Sort of based on the smooth criminal look and feel of Michael Jackson at the time.
Yep. The game came out for arcades.
They have one at a local arcade at Up and Down in Uptown.
That's right.
It's sitting right. I saw it just the other day.
The home version is different.
So the home version came out after the arcade?
I think so. I think that's my research that I from this morning.
Wait, did he
told me
was he a car that turned yes. into Michael Jackson?
Yes,
I don't remember yes. a lot of weird ideas.
I don't remember that.
Yeah. So the arcade game, actually, it's like a more isometric, three dimensional.
Yeah, and you can have multiple Michael Jacksons.
Exactly.
Multiple MJs.
Yeah.
Wow.
Like there'd be like a blue one and a red one.
MMJs.
Michael. but the coolest part about this game, I think they're all girls.
In the game, it's supposed to be little. In the arcade game, I think it's little kids.
Yeah. They couldn't afford both sprites.
Yeah.
So
it's a little magical dust.
You can get powered up as Michael, and eventually you become the Moonwalker, I guess. I don't know.
This guy's pretty good. There's no mistakes.
it's a perfect run.
Here's the thing about
it. Always bugged me when like the character rate of movement didn't match the background scroll.
Yeah. Now
now he's firing.
He's got Bubbles the monkey.
You get Bubbles once you find enough of the kids.
Is this? I mean, I know it's real, but you have to.
Oh my goodness.
This is a boss.
Ah, you'll never catch me.
That's supposed to be like Joe Pesci. Isn't he the bad guy and like the Captain Neo or whatever?
Yeah, Joe Pesci's actually in this. Okay, so
this
here
boss battle.
You get powered up.
Now they all dance with you.
Yep.
Oh my God.
So you have to keep in mind that this game was, you know, I can't even tell. But I mean,
he murdered every one of those guys.
The Super Nintendo wasn't out yet, so you were comparing Moonwalker to NES games
right.
at the time. And keep in mind, the NES, they have tiny little characters. I mean, you didn't have as many colors,
right.
So this was pretty amazing for the time. I mean, it was still.
I want to get ahead to like the end.
Whoa! It was a game that you know was representing a Sega that was not capturing market share at
right.
the time.
So, I feel like it's in the arcade game, not in this one, but you would become the robot version of Michael, like the Captain EO.
Okay.
You know, like he could shoot lasers and shit. It was amazing. Ooh, that laser just shot that little girl.
She flies away in a little moonbeam.
But this game, like, does a good job capturing what was wrong with these sorts of games at the time, and it's just like, okay, after you played the first level, it's like,
yeah,
it's the same thing.
It's the same thing.
But guess what? We still loved it.
Yeah, of course. What else am I going to do?
I mean, if you
homework?
Can kick your leg and then just kick out Stardust at him.
You compare this animation to what they later were able to do with Aladdin.
Yeah.
And it's just night
Aladdin
and
looks
day.
Like the cartoon.
Yeah.
So, Michael Jackson's Moonwalker, you own this game, Adam?
Yeah, still. I play it a couple times a year.
And you,
awesome.
Back in the day,
slid down the banister.
Did you own both Super Nintendo and Genesis in your house? I did.
You know what? I think I had a Super Nintendo. My dad had a Genesis.
Okay.
I don't think I owned it. No, I had both. I had both at home. Yeah.
Jared, what about you?
Later on, I had both.
Yes, but I was late to the game on Genesis. I had Super Nintendo first, and I didn't get a Genesis until Sonic 2 is coming out.
So that was like 91, 92, somewhere in there?
Sure.
Not 92, because Sonic becomes the pack-in for Genesis in 1991, which was a huge game changer.
You see, it was Altered Beast before then.
Mm-hmm.
A fine game, but, no Sonic.
But Sonic
No blast processing, probably.
Sonic changed it all. So your second game you were talking about was Toe Jam and Earl, a cult classic if there ever was one.
Yes. Toe Jam and Earl, the reason I thought maybe Jared would bring this up is because That game used hip hop like nothing else.
Yes.
It was crazy.
The story of Toe Jam and Earl is what?
They are two aliens that crash land on a planet and they need to collect the parts of their ship to escape.
1991 game as well.
This came out before I had a Genesis. Thomas had this and loved this game. So I would watch him play it, but I never had it myself.
Every Toe Jam and Earl released after this, 2 and 3. 2 was fine, not great. 3 was terrible. And then there was another one for maybe the PS3, Xbox 360 generation. Just terrible. Don't play them. Find a way to play the original Toe Jam and Earl. I don't know that it actually holds up, but that's fine.
Get to some gameplay.
I didn't like this game that
it
much.
It is a weird game.
Yeah.
It's like floating islands.
Yep. Yeah. And it's all procedural. Every time you play this game, the landmass and the locations of everything is different. So that was cool.
But it's sort of slow. It doesn't move fast. Yeah. I mean, you have to give Sega credit for taking chances. They were putting out all sorts of different kinds of games. Nothing like this compared, you know, Nintendo had nothing like this.
No. It's just a weird game.
Yep.
Like
what are we doing? We're just walking around in grass.
You're trying to find your spaceship, and you have to beat up some aliens along the way. You have to.
Well, Jam is on vacation. Earl is a wiener.
And I think if you two-player, it splits the screen.
Yep.
And as he's doing it all.
And there he found
as
a Happy Meal, it looks like.
Yeah, I didn't quite. It just seemed like you just a lot of walking around.
Yep.
Grabbing stuff.
But you know what? As a kid, got all the time in the world.
That's true. You do.
Yeah, I mean, just the fact that like I would beat it. And then, like. So I remember beating The Legend of Zelda. And then playing it again and being like, well, I can do it real fast now. That's cool.
Yeah.
Telephone's ringing.
But
go get that phone.
He's sneaking
I remember
up on
beating
it.
This and then
so
playing it again.
Answering the phone revealed more of the map.
Yeah, obviously.
Makes perfect sense.
And it was a different game. I mean, it's the same game, right?
Grab that highlighted potato.
No, that's the awesome snowboard.
Okay. I don't know.
That's part of his job.
Yeah.
Boy, this is bizarre. Again, that twangy Genesis stock music sound. Jared and I, earlier in the week, we were talking about, was Mortal Kombat better on Genesis or Super Nintendo? And I say Super Nintendo with a bullet, even if it was blood, just because the characters actually looked and moved like the arcade.
Yeah, if you want an arcade representation, yes. If you want blood, and if you want fucking Scorpion or Sub-Zero ripping a dude's head off and seeing the spine...
But if you do a side-by-side comparison, it's like, it's almost like you have Donkey Kong for the Atari versus a Donkey Kong for the ColecoVision. I mean, it's just, it doesn't even feel like Mortal Kombat all that much. The music, the sounds.
Yeah.
Mortal Kombat 2 was a little bit closer one-to-one, but boy, regular Mortal Kombat, I would have taken that blood changing into sweat any day of the week.
Yeah, but remember they had to change the dumb...
There's some of the finishing moves were different. And, like, remember there was always the rumors that there was blood. Blood codes.
Everyone's
there
middle,
was never a blood
middle
code,
middle high
though.
School is like, no, I found it. I know. My older brother showed me how to do it. My uncle that works at Nintendo.
Yeah. My Funko land. Funko guy.
It's funny when you think about those. If you watch the fatalities from the most recent Mortal Kombat and stuff, like, they're so gruesome.
Yes.
But it's, like, almost funny over the top. But then also it's like... It's almost like, oh, this is what they were talking about.
Yes, yeah, exactly. We finally reached that pinnacle. All right, guys, I'm going to pick one of the earlier Genesis games for my second selection. You guys may not even know this game. It's a game called Herzog's Phi. Uh-huh. It's a it was a Sega Genesis exclusive game by a company
How
called
do I spell that
H E R Z O G
okay yeah
Z W it was made by a company called Technosoft. It was published in 1989 in Japan and released here in early 90s. So this was pre-Sega. It's an early real-time strategy game predating the genre-popularizing Dune 2. And what this does, it combines the arcade-style play of Thunder Force with a simple, easy-to-grasp level of strategy. And why I like this game, I'm going to be very honest with you. You flew around this plane... And you like set up troops and you try to take over bases, but that plane could turn into a robot.
So, and that's why you like
it. So it was the closest thing to something like Robotech, which was my favorite thing at the time. And there was no other games that had too many elements of transforming vehicles. And so that's why I like this game. And what I ended up finding out was that it was a deeper experience than just having a ship that would turn into a robot and vice versa. Like, you had to fight not a great computer AI, but you could also do two-player where you'd play against each other and try to take over different territories. You know, nothing crazy, but kind of cool for the time, and it was a gateway game for me to get into the Sega Genesis. And now it actually, this game sells at a pretty good amount because it was not super popular.
It was a good investment.
But a good investment. So Herzog's Phi is my second game. I have nothing really to say about it other than I used to sit and play by myself and enjoy it greatly.
Nice.
Jared, what's your last game?
It's really two games, but they're both in the same series. Okay. And I'm going to talk about the Shining Force series. This, to me, these two games, 1 and 2, and then later Shining Force CD on the Sega CD, are probably like my favorite games from the Genesis. And what Shining Force is, it's a turn-based tactical role-playing game. You basically have... Let's see if I can...
Is this the first-person one?
No, it's... Nope. Okay. No. So it was... trying to find a good video here.
This was pretty much Sega's answer to Zelda. I mean,
sort of, but it wasn't. It wasn't.
Yeah, I mean, that's how they advertised it, but it may not have been that kind of game.
I think the first.
As you can see now, we're gonna get into a little.
I don't want this guy talking.
I thought they had digitized voices, and I'm like, wow, that's really advanced.
We'll just go into this Shining Force 2 video here, just to get a little taste behind it. All right, so this was sort of related to another game called Shining in the Darkness, which was, I think, more like a Zelda type game. Mm-hmm. Shining Force was more like you have a party of different character classes. You have warriors and wizards and archers and healers and all these different types of, you know, standard characters, and you basically travel around the world and you get into these battles with the evil forces, and you're on a grid and it's turn-based. Every character can move a certain number of spaces. Every character has certain abilities. So you really had to be tactical about it. Knew who you were fighting against, like where you needed to put your archers so that they could still attack but also be safe. Where to move your healers so they'd be in position to help people who were, you know, going to get damaged or were already damaged. And I just loved it. I played through it like super fast. I was addicted to the first one, and the sequel, Shining Force 2, improved on it both in how it looks, and they also allowed you to basically go back to places you had already been to. Shining Force, the first one, was very linear. Like, you basically progressed throughout the land, engaging in the story and fighting the battles, but you never got to go back to do anything. The other, Shining Force 2, allowed you to go back to cities and have conversations. So there's also like places in the game where you had like towns where you could interact with people, and you had your headquarters, your party headquarters, where you did training and you could set up your party. Just a lot of fun. And there's not a lot in the game to hear, obviously. It's a lot of
swishing,
menu selection sounds, and swishing and moving around, but let's see if we can get a battle here.
Right there.
So I'm going to take...
Here we go.
I'm going to take back what I said about Zelda, because that was wrong. This was like the Sega version of Final Fantasy.
Fantasy Tactics.
More of like,
well,
a
Final Fantasy Tactics came later.
Right.
Yeah, but I mean, it was... I'm not saying that we're making this game as a direct response, but if you think about the parallels of the game buying public, they would compare this to Final Fantasy.
It has a similar type of interface. It's just more tactical in how it's presented. So,
well, King got defeated.
This is one of those games, I remember working at Toys R Us, where people always asked for it, but we never seemed to have it in stock. Like, it was a very limited cartridge run.
They should have just downloaded it from PSN or something.
Yeah, they probably should have. And what year did this game come out, Jared?
Let's check the stats here. 92, it looks like, for the first one. Probably 94.
So this was post-Sonic as well.
Yeah. Yes, this is by the time... I mean, obviously, I had a Genesis by then, and I didn't have it until after Sonic came out. So, Force 2, let's see. Came out 93, looks like. Yeah.
Good stuff.
94 in North America. So 92, 94. Anyway, swish, swish, swish.
Brought Japanese RPGs to the forefront.
Yep, that style of art. And I don't know. I just had so much fun like planning my perfect
attack run.
My perfect team and positioning them properly. And
you'd
go through and you'd fight a battle and you'd get defeated and you'd, you know, go back to your headquarters and you'd have to heal up your people and try again. And it was never like devastating. You couldn't move forward, but you know, were never like, the game wasn't over or anything. I kind of like that.
When was the last time you played this game? Have you ever revisited
it?
No.
I haven't. I should, though. I've thought about it since I have that hacked Xbox with all the Genesis games. I totally could play it again.
See if it holds up for you, at least on a basic strategy level. Well, there we go. Adam, any other comments before we wrap up our retro video game review of the Sega Genesis / Mega Drive? Jared?
SNES was a better console of that generation.
I agree. I'd like the SNES more, but the Genesis does have some gems.
Affordable for the time, though.
Shane is going to disagree.
You can buy them for $350 combined, according to that one commercial we just watched.
I like them both, and I think they both have pros and cons. I have a really hard time picking, but my heart tells me Sega, just because I was such a huge sports game aficionado at the time, that there was never a sports game on the Super Nintendo that was good.
Weird. I remember all the NHLs and Maddens being equal.
They didn't play the same. There was a feel that was different on the Genesis.
Was there a Tecmo Super Bowl for Genesis, or is that only Nintendo and Super Nintendo?
I think there was a Tecmo Bowl for Genesis.
But you like the ones that had the actual licenses. Right?
Yeah. By that time Madden was that was your baseline for anything sports. So, well, there we go. Let's take a quick break, and we'll be back with a little bit more scope right after this.
Ladies and gentlemen, I give you the scope.
Under the scope. We are back with Under the Scope, and Adam's going to give us Coming Soon. Adam?
Mm-hmm.
Do it.
Okay. Music. We've got a new album from Donald Glover's...
Child of Gambino?
Yeah.
Lando Calrissian?
Yes.
I had stuff in the news about Star Wars, but I didn't have, 2 weeks ago.
Emilia Clarke joining
the
Lando movie.
Exactly.
Or the Han Solo movie.
And 11 from Stranger Things saying she wants to play a young Princess Leia.
Hmm.
Okay.
All right.
She best not be in that movie, I'll tell you that much, because then it's like a universe that's way too small for its own good.
Right.
Agreed.
Thank you.
Deadmau5, new album from him.
Mm-hmm.
Deadmau5.
Deadmau5, yep. Grace Van Der Waal, John Legend, Pete Doherty, Ray Lynn, The Rolling Stones. New album from The Rolling Stones. Great.
They love to do music.
And then the Hamilton mixtape from various artists.
Fun.
Movies, we've got Nerdland.
I've never heard of that.
That's where all the Nerdlingers are from.
Okay.
La La Land. Confusing with all the lands coming out.
Bad marketing on their part. Coordination.
And Friend Request. I don't know.
Boy, it's rough.
Is that like a social media thing?
I assume so.
Probably should have been done 5 years ago.
I watched Verve. No,
yeah.
Nerve. I watched Nerve the other day.
That trailer looks so stupid.
Oh, my gosh. Like, that is a movie that's right up my alley. If like, bad.
Yeah.
It's so bad. Like, not even, it was upsettingly bad.
Emma Roberts?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Julia Roberts' child.
Dave Franco?
Niece, not her child.
Whatever. Is it her brother?
It's Eric Roberts.
Is it really
kid,
Eric,
I
Eric
yep.
Roberts?
Kid? I believe it's Eric Roberts.
Home video, we've got The Secret Life of Pets.
Yep.
We watched that. It was cute. Jason Bourne.
Was that cute?
I don't like muscly Matt Damon.
What if he was good at playing an X-Wing game?
And muscly?
No,
I couldn't accept it.
Okay.
Howard's End. Ordinary,
Energy, Jared.
Ordinary World. Batman v Superman : Dawn of Justice.
Are you buying that, Jared?
What? No. Why would I?
Did you guys see it?
Yeah.
Okay.
God, extremely disappointing.
Movie. Jack Goes Home, Don't Think Twice, Argo. These must be like 4K releases. I Am Legend, The Town, Goodfellas, For the Love of Spock. What? The Hollers.
Yeah, that's the Leonard Nimoy documentary made by his son.
On Deadly Ground.
Yeah.
Nice.
For the Love of Spock.
Video games, Dead Rising 4. See, there's still video games coming out.
Jared in awe.
What's the remind me what the Dead Rising series is?
It's zombies, and there's a lot of them, and you have to combine different parts of stuff together.
And the worst part is you're always on a clock trying to do it.
They took the clock out of three.
The Capcom series, right?
Yeah. Okay. They took the clock out of three, except for certain things, and from what I understand, there's no clock in this one.
Yeah, I hate clocks. I mean, I would probably play this game if I knew for sure that if I was for certain there were no clocks.
No, you wouldn't.
I would buy this game and put it on my shelf.
You know why? Because they don't have clocks, you know what they do have?
What?
Weapon damage.
Has there been The Walking Dead like action game?
There was a Daryl one. Yeah.
They should. I mean, it just seems like
it's like a first person
total mistake
shootery.
You need to get like a good company on this, and then you just rake in money. You would have raked in money.
Mm.
Like if you could have done like a Grand Theft Auto open world Walking
Dead.
Yeah,
remember like all those great Lost and the Matrix games?
Yeah, I actually played through the Lost game.
It's not as just easy as being like you put a good company on it.
There actually are some versions of that on the PC, like zombie apocalypse open world type games.
I'd like to see that. Okay, go
play DayZ. Record yourself playing it and stream it for us.
Done.
Let's see. Oh, that's right. Video games are definitely not done being out this year.
Oh.
Because we also have The Last Guardian.
Ah, yeah, the grand finale.
The Last Guardian is a game that's been in development for, let's say, 16 years.
Okay. Feels like it.
Maybe 12. I think it was a PS2 game. Originally, okay. It's a Sony first party
game. A spiritual sequel to what game?
Duke Nukem.
Not Echo, or Eco, or however you pronounce that.
Same company. What is that? Yeah, it's the giant titan type things that they were.
Oh, blanking on right now. Maybe we'll come back.
Oh, like Shadow of the Colossus.
Shadow of the Colossus. Yep.
Oh.
Yep. Maybe it's not even a sequel, but I mean, same guys.
I caught a couple of Colossi in my.
Did you like that game?
Yeah, it was decent. I got it for like, you know, it was like PS2, like they, whenever their re-release cycle was, where it was like $10. I got that.
I had it and never played it.
Sony Classic.
It's fun.
So yes, this is a game that will not be able to satisfy anyone because we've all been waiting for it.
The
for
build
too long.
Up is incredibly large.
We've also got the Unspoken, VR Sports Challenge, Werewolves Within, Yakuza 6, and Space Hulk: Deathwing.
Wow, that's a list. That's a mouthful.
You guys buy any of those VR headsets yet?
Nope.
Still not, huh?
Nope. We're out.
Have you?
All of them.
He's got them all. He's wearing them right now.
I'm not even here right now.
It's amazing.
I'm here virtually.
I didn't realize that they could be used as a telepresence device.
Oh, yeah.
Now I'm in.
Yeah, we're
signing
up. If
I can just put that on and project myself into other people's homes, yeah. Perfect.
Hey, Jared.
Yeah.
One last thing to take care of. Hit it or miss it. Perfect. It is my turn, and this week I am picking a hit. Just because in the sadness that we've had in our country, this commercial for this movie made my wife smile, and I'm talking about Office Christmas Party.
Yeah.
Jared saw it. He laughed at it, too. This stars a cavalcade of pretty funny people. We've got Kate McKinnon. We've got Rachel from Friends.
Jennifer Aniston.
We've got the best Bluth son.
Jason Bateman.
We've got Deadpool sidekick.
T.J. Miller.
And a bunch of other people.
Olivia Munn, Courtney B. Vance.
Yep. Keep going.
Jillian Bell.
And it's about an office party that's thrown to try to capture the favors of a client, I think, and it turns into a big raucous thing. And, hey, it could be funny.
So I have a question.
I like its simplistic title.
Yeah. I saw this trailer, and I thought this was Bad Bosses 2.
I mean,
Is this in the same universe as Bad Bosses? Are these the same characters?
I thought the same thing.
Wasn't there already a Horrible Bosses 2?
Or that? Yeah.
I don't believe it is, but they have a lot of crossover people.
I think Jason Sudeikis has something to do with this.
Is Jason Sudeikis in this?
He's not listed.
Okay, then he's not. But
okay.
But still, yes, it felt like it could be the same thing. Like, Jennifer Aniston's got to get off of this being the boss. Right?
Yeah. I guess.
That's a new thing, I guess. Being the boss.
There we go. So, Office Christmas Party, in these sad times, maybe this is the film that will turn everything around for us.
Maybe.
Wrap it up.
Under the scope.
Boston Justin throws dick.
There we go.
Put a lot of faith in Hollywood to soothe the country. Yeah.
They've never failed yet.
Yep. They've never failed.
Never have they?
And they never will.
It's not really Hollywood anymore. It's all Chinese co-productions. Am I right?
Correct.
Anyway. Hey, folks.
H Brothers.
We talked about Sega Genesis an awful lot in this show. You got any Sega Genesis memories you want to share? What are your favorite games from the system back in the day? Let us know. Comments at thescopeshow.com or call the voicemail line. 612-21-SCOPE. It's at 612-217-2673. I bet Great Luke Ski has some opinions on Sega Genesis games.
I bet he does.
You can also hit us up on social media, Facebook or Twitter. Those links are over on our website at thescopeshow.com. And perhaps you'd like to stream this episode via the YouTube. You can do that. YouTube.com/thescopeshow. Are you guys like doing a post-show stretch there?
Yeah, we've got to work up the kinks.
All right. If you'd like to support our exercise program here at The Scope, you can do so by visiting patreon.com/The Scope Show. Pledge as little as a dollar an episode, set a monthly cap, cancel anytime. All your dollars will go strictly into our gym fund.
Yep. We need some stretch bands.
Yes.
No, he means Jim from The Office will be here.
Exactly. Holiday.
Look at the camera quizzically.
Holiday season is fast approaching. It's here. You're in the midst of it, actually. You should be shopping now. And when you do, you should shop at Amazon through our link at thescopeshow.com/Amazon. Click on that link. Doesn't cost you any more. You get whatever shipping options are available to you. We have no sway over that. Maybe you're a Prime member. You get it for 2 days. Good for you. Good job. And a little bit of that goes into our pocket. So do the right thing. Click on that link. Shane Becky.
Wow, terrific read, Jared. Adam, great job today.
Read. I didn't read anything. It's all up here.
That guy, you've just amazed me more. You've amazed me more. That's the best read. That's the biggest read I've ever seen.
It's Bigly Read.
Bigly. Well, Adam, thank
tremendous
you.
Read.
Thank you for your work today. Jared, thank you for your work. Scope fans, thanks for tuning in. We appreciate it when you listen and give us a chance each and every week.
What is going on? There we go. Dang it.
So let's wrap this show up, Jared.
Okay.
Everybody, thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. We'll be back soon with more Scope. So until then, bye for now.
Ladies and gentlemen, we find ourselves once again at the end. I hope you've enjoyed our time together. I know I have. Fear not, Scope faithful. Days shall pass as if they were but a moment. And Jared, Adam, and Shane will return with another thrilling episode. Until then, send your comments to comments@thescopeshow.com or leave a voicemail message by dialing
612-21-SCOPE. That's 612-217-2673.
Thanks for listening, faithful fans. This is Tony Partington saying...
Buenas tardes.
Tune in next time to another terrific edition of The Scope.